of the Apostles, Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 6 through 11 of Acts chapter 1. This being the Word of God in public, it is important that each and every one of us take heed of it, hear it, as if God was speaking to you. From His holy word in Acts chapter 1, beginning verse 6, dear people of God. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel, to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. May the Lord bless this portion of His word to our hearts. Again, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. Your word is truth. And we are now to hear about it some more. May we receive it well into our lives, each and every one of us. Give us ears to hear. For this we ask in Your precious name. Amen. Well, I have something that's easy for you to hear. It's maybe a little difficult to do, but you have a lot of help. But it's something you've heard before. It's something easy to hear. Now, to begin with, we want to note that these are the last words before Jesus is taken up into glory, into heaven, ascends before their eyes. He has some words to share with them, to let them know that they are going to be His witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, and then moving out into the area of Judea, into beyond Judea, into Samaria, and then to other places as well. That He is going to give them the Holy Spirit. They have to wait until they're given this power because they don't even understand yet. What in the world's going on? They're confused, to say the least. But they're going to get solid 10 days hence, right? Jesus had secured the salvation of His people for all times, past, present, and future, going to the cross and shedding His blood. So that's secure. He's secured the salvation of a people. He secured the church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail by going to the cross. In order to show, among other things, that God accepted His sacrifice, His perfect sacrifice, He rose from the grave on the third day to live forever. Many witnesses saw the living Jesus, the risen Savior. 40 days now have gone by since the resurrection. And He's about to ascend into heaven. And He gives them these words that you, first, you will receive the power from the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be My witnesses throughout the land, throughout the area, and in other parts as well. So I want to talk now about five things briefly. I want to talk about the call that the apostles, that the church has been given, the call. Then I want to go to what is a witness, and talk a little about that, a witness. What does the Bible mean by witness? Then in the third place, I want to speak about that this call, this witness is to the church and all of her members, not just some, but all. In the fourth place, I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit that has come upon the church, the churches, the people, the members. And finally, I want to talk about the result of all this, this call, this witness, the church, the power given. The result is the gathering. I know that's the title of a movie that is a little strange, but we're not talking about a strange gathering. We are talking about something far better. So those five things. The first, the call. And there's only... Well, there are more things than I'm going to mention to have in mind, to hold in mind, but these three at the very least should be kept in mind. The apostles, look at verse 8 here, at the very end of it, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I'm saying utter, right? U-T-T-E-R, not utter like a cow's udder, but it may sound the same coming from my mouth. But it's out there. You know, you're to go everywhere. You're going to the furthest part of the world, to the earth. Now, if the apostles, if there was no life, I mean, the world came to an end, Jesus returned, the world came to an end, and in their day, then they would have fulfilled that, right? But because they went beyond Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, they went outside, and even to Europe, right? To Philippi. So they went as far as they could in the Roman Empire, but they couldn't fulfill this command to in its entirety. In fact, it's still being fulfilled today to the uttermost parts of the world. Everywhere. You're to go out to all the nations now, every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue, with this gospel. The apostles could not possibly have done that. The early church could not have done that. And so clearly, this is a call beyond them. It began with them. But it certainly did not end with them. It extends to us as well. Also, to keep in mind about this call, that it is a call, is you're going to be given power. And you are going to be a witness. You're given power by God, by His Spirit, to witness, to be a witness, to be my witnesses. That's how it's going to work. That's how I am going to speak to people through you. And so you are given power here to make it happen. To be a witness. That's the call of the early disciples, of the early church, and of every Christian, every church, and every member. That's your call, to be a witness, right? Can't just be to the apostles. It can't just be to the disciples gathered around. It can't in the upper room. It can't just be to the house churches that were being formed in the area. In Asia Minor and even beyond, it must be to all people in every age that are members of the body of Christ. They are called to be His witnesses, and they're given power to do that. This is not just talk. And the third thing that we ought to keep in mind is at every level of the church, like we have part of a denomination, we're a church within a denomination, so we have three court levels, right? Three levels of court: the session, the presbytery, and the GA. And at each and every one of those levels, they ought to pay attention to this call, this great commission, we call it, that we are to bear witness about Jesus, that every decision that they make, major decision that they make, has to have that in mind. We have to be keeping in mind that we have a call to witness about Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again. And we can't be playing games and politics and things like that. We can't be out in the world doing the social gospel, you know, being do-gooders everywhere. We have a calling to bear witness to Jesus. Yes, in word and in deed, yes, we ought to do good things in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in our own name, not for our own favorite political party, not for this or for that, but for Jesus Christ. So that's the call. What's the meaning now? We come to, well, okay, we're called to be witnesses, all of us, on every level of service. Well, there are two ideas here in the Bible about a witness. The obvious thing is an eyewitness, right? Someone that witnesses an event, or that experiences something and is a witness to that experience. For example, if I ask you, do you know what a strawberry is? Well, you can explain it, you can describe it, but you really don't know what a strawberry is unless you experience it, unless you taste it. That's the best way. If you have a Martian friend, and he doesn't know what a strawberry is, he wants to know, you give him one. Have him experience that. So someone that is an eyewitness or experiences an event is a witness to that. We also have the idea in the Bible here in this verse of someone that has witnessed something, like an eyewitness in the case of the apostles. They were eyewitnesses to the death, to the burial, to the resurrection, and to the ascension. They were eyewitnesses. Now they are to bear a testimony of that. They are to bring it forth. They are to witness, testify that this is so. Okay, both senses are used in a court of law, right? You have someone that is an eyewitness. Now he has to give, or she has to give, an account of what he or she witnessed in a court of law. She has to testify. Both these ideas are found in the scripture. A witness is somebody that has experience, that has eyewitnessed something or experienced something, but also will bear a testimony. And the latter, the bearing of the testimony, is the more important aspect here, or is the emphasis, I should say, not necessarily the more important one, but where the emphasis is bearing testimony. That's what it means to be a witness. So we've gone through calling, we are called to be witnesses, we know what it is. Very simple to understand, right? I'm not telling anyone here anything new, and that's refreshing if you think about it. I understand this so far. Stay awake. It's hot. I know it's a little warm in here. Stay awake. It's okay. And we'll move right along to the third point that I want to make. And this began with the apostles here. Obviously, they were eyewitnesses, as I just said. The verses said it. They witnessed the death of Christ, the burial, the resurrection on the third day. There were many other people that witnessed this as well. 500 at one time, for example. There's all kinds of witnesses. Now they need to testify, and they need to go out. And they're promised that they will be given power. But before we get to that power, they are told that they are to wait. Okay, Pentecost is 10 days from the ascension now. They are to wait until such time as they're giving power. given power. And then they are to go out to all these places and to the uttermost part of the earth. They're to begin something that will extend to the present time as well. The church is given the same commission to teach all things that Jesus said, to baptize in his name, to be his witnesses. Now, just to go back a minute and talk about being a witness, you say, well, I'm not an eyewitness like the apostles and the early disciples were, but you have experienced it. And you ask, well, how do I explain that? That I am also a witness that Jesus Christ is risen, that Jesus Christ is ascended, that Jesus Christ is in heaven at the right hand in all power, that all power and authority is given to him. He proved this by his miracles when he was here. How have I witnessed this? Well, you've witnessed this, you've experienced this from his word. If this word were not true, if this word were not the word of God, if God's spirit were not speaking to your heart, his spirit to your spirit, that he was not speaking, you could not really bear witness. You are not a witness of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of his awesome power. You could not, but that's the problem that you have and I have when we do bear witness to people. We have experienced salvation through Jesus Christ, and it is so charming, it is so delightful, it is so wonderful to us. It's also such a very serious thing. And if I love somebody, and I have loved deeply several people in my life, especially my own family. The thing I want most is that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he experienced that same joy that I have, that same fullness, that same happiness of life. But I can't give it to them. That's because God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit that yes, this is true. And so now, because of the infallible word, witness to me becoming alive, you know, actualized in me, I am a witness of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Yes, in a different way, not a literally an eyewitness, but I've experienced something that's changed my life. And I've told you about this before. I've lived in both worlds. I've lived in the world of debauchery and sin, this world, with all its sin, and I've lived in the Christian world. And what a contrast. I know some of you have grown up in a Christian home, and praise God for that. You were saved from a lot of difficulty. But there is a marked difference, and the power of God is really, the witness is there. I could talk to somebody about how God changed my life radically. And that's an experience I can't give you. I can't give to anybody. I could witness it, though. I could testify to it. And so that's how we become a person. And that is true of all of us, right? As I said, it started with the apostles and the early disciples, the early church, but it continues to this day because God's not finished yet, right? There are still people becoming saved. There are still people that have to be reached. There are still people that have to be born and be reached. Now, with whom do you begin as a witness? Well, if you're married, you begin with each other, right? You make sure that each other knows where you're at when it comes to the faith. And that's why I insist that two people that are getting married be Christian. You can't always tell, but they go to counseling with me, and we get 4 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, and you could tell that whether someone believes or not most of the time. unless they're lying. You can't always tell. I seldom marry people that are not saved. Occasionally I have. But both of them have to be not saved. You can't be one saved and one hoping to be saved, hoping that the other one's saved someday. That I won't do that. That's a mixed marriage, and spiritually speaking. But they have to both be Christian. They don't have to be Orthodox Presbyterians. They don't have to be anything like that. But they have to be saved. And then you bring them together because they're both witnesses. So it begins with each other, right? You witness to each other. You make sure that the other person knows where you stand, and you can be certain, or as certain as humanly possible, where that other person stands. Then you have children, right? And you want to bear witness. You want to testify of the great salvation that Jesus has done in your life. And so that's the way we started out in our marriage after we had some one or two or three children. We gave them Christ. That was the first thing on our mind. Yeah, you have to feed them, you have to clothe them, you have to do. But that is secondary compared to giving them Christ. Now that, you know, does that rub you the wrong way? I hope not. Because I'd rather my child, my son, my daughter live 10 years, 15 years of life and know the Lord Jesus Christ than live 80 or 90 years and not know him at all. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Would you want to see your child, your son, your daughter grow up and live 89 years rejecting Jesus Christ his or her whole life and dying in his sin? Than living a shorter life, but loving the Lord. So we bear witness, we bear testimony to our children, to our grandchildren, most important of all. And then we go beyond that, right? That's what they did in the early church. They bore witness to one another, to spouses, to each other, to their children, to their families, to their households, to their friends, to their neighbors. They gathered in house churches. They set up a worshiping center in their own homes and invited the people of God into their home. Right? And that's what we should be doing on every level. We should be doing that too, right? Inviting people into our homes, into our hearts, into our church. Now it talks about power. Ye shall receive power. And that will come upon you. One other thing before I get to this power. You see these inserts? Last time it was home missions. Time before that, it was Christian education. This time, the insert for Thank Offering is foreign missions. This tells you that on a denominational level, right, that we are all about witnessing. Witnessing at home, witnessing through our children, through catechism and Great Commission's publications and you know, materials like that. Witnessing on the foreign mission field. And it's the same witness that you're hearing now is what our missionaries tell in Uganda. You know, or in Uruguay. Or in Haiti. Or in China. Same thing. Now they have to contextualize a little bit, yes. Not too much. I'm not one of those guys that believe in this contextualization nonsense. You know, taking it too far, it becomes nonsense. It's you know, you have to speak in like, but you don't want to go too much beyond the examples that the Bible gives. They're the best examples. And you want to illustrate by the examples with the examples of the Bible. So now you're given power, okay? We talk about our church, our churches, our denomination. We are continuing this great commission, this great call. We are encouraging everyone on every level, at every level, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. You can't miss it, right? If you're not doing this, if you're not being a witness to your own family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to the people at work, wherever you work or go to school, then you have, what do you mean? You haven't got the memo. I mean, that's true on every level of our church, in all our churches. What's going on? What are you witnessing about? What are you talking about? What's important to you? If you're a student, it's your classes, it's your classwork. Okay, you could talk about that. Of course you could talk about that. But what about Jesus? Haven't you got the message? Haven't you gotten the memo? That's what it's all about. We're witnesses. And now we're given power. Power to become. Remember, the apostles were given power. But Joel prophesied in the Old Testament that power was going to be poured out, that the Spirit is going to be poured out on all the people, young men and young maids. They were going to be, and young women, they were going to be given power, filled with the Spirit, to prophesy, to give the truth. Now, we know that happened in the early church here. They were given power, and they bore witness, but we also know that all the people of God are given the Holy Spirit. They're given the power to bear witness about what has happened in their lives. As I was just saying before, what happened in my life. You can say what happened in your life, whatever it may be. Do you realize that? I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir here, but I cannot divorce myself from Jesus anymore. There's no way that I can think in any given day without thinking about him, without thinking about who I am, what I am. I can't help it. And if I try to reject him, and I haven't done this, dear people, don't take my meaning wrong, I haven't tried to reject him, but I imagine sometimes, how would I do that? How would I just not go to church, not read the Bible, listen to all this muck and mire and nonsense that's on television from these talking heads and these whatever you want to call them? What would my life be like? And I would be in misery. I couldn't live with myself. I'd rather die. I'd rather die. I can't imagine it. But why? Because the power of God is in me to will and do his good pleasure. He is in my bones. He is, further than that, he's in my soul, and I cannot live without him. He's given his people power. You can't give that to anyone else. Only God can do that. You can't give the Spirit to anyone, but you can share what he has done for you. Now, what I just said, any one of you can say in your own words, in your own way, yeah, it's impossible for me to reject Jesus Christ because he's in my blood. I believe it. I can't help myself. You can say that. And more. Because that's the power of God. And he's promised the power of God to be poured out not only upon the apostles. They did miracles and things like that to get bare evidence. But the word was still being written to confirm that they were from God and that they had power from his Spirit. But then he also poured out his Spirit upon the young men and women of that day. And the prophecy of the Old Testament, the prophecies were being fulfilled as the gospel of Jesus Christ went out into the world. And so now it's our turn. And finally, we have the gathering. We have a great and wonderful privilege to gather the church. That's how God gathers the church. He has a people that he has died for, that Jesus has died for, that he has determined from eternity before they were born to die for such a people, to die for these people, and he's going to go and he's going to gather them through the ages. Well, how does he do this? He does it through his people. He does that through us. Dear people, this is our call for life. This is our what we're about. It's not the only thing we do, of course not. But it's an important thing that we do do this, that we do see ourselves as a very privileged people that are willing and able because of God's grace and power that's at work within us to share this with others. And you know something? As we do, some of us are going to see conversions right before our eyes. Others of us are going to see them after a while. Some of us are going to see others of us being used of God as instruments. It's just a wonderful thing to join in and be part of the process of gathering God's people that are numbered from eternity into his kingdom. And until he returns, that's what we're to be doing. So I want to encourage you, every one of you. As I said, this is a simple message. It's easy to understand, but it's not as easy to do it, is it? But I want to encourage you to be proud of something in your life, right? To be proud of this one thing. To be proud that you're a Christian. And to let people know of the joy of your salvation in Jesus Christ. And God will do the rest. God will save the people that he's going to save. But isn't it a wonderful idea, more than an idea, that he might use you to save a soul from dying? Might even be your own son or daughter or grandchild. Keep on doing it. I know you've begun. Don't stop. Keep on doing it. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we are to be witnesses. That's what we're called to do. We see the calling here is crystal clear in the early church to the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank you, Lord, that there were people faithful to this so that we have come to know. For surely the apostles are not here today. They do not know us, but their disciples, their followers do. And they have borne witness to us. May we do likewise. Lord, we pray, as they did, the early church, the reformers, the church of all the ages, we pray for more grace, that we would bear witness to him who has all authority in heaven and in earth, and saves a people for himself to this very day. Jesus Christ, we pray all these things in his name only. Amen. Let's sing a familiar hymn, O 4000.